Messianic Psalms are psalms about our Lord Jesus Christ that prophesied what he would do, what he understood. But the psalms also applied to the people back then and to our lives today. And I was looking in the psalms the last few weeks and just meditating on God's goodness in my life, God's mercy in my life. And as I came to Psalm 16 and verse 11, it just kept reading it over and over again. And so this is a message that I've never shared before, but it's just something that I just want to share from my overflow of my relationship, my time alone with God, as he spoke to me about my life. And I hope he'll speak to you about your life. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." And I just want to share an encouraging word with you this morning about God is faithful. Hebrews chapter 13, you stay in Psalm 16. I'm just going to quote Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Most of you know it. You might not know where it's found, but it's this. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. Isn't that great news? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because Jesus lives in our hearts, and if you have Christ in your heart, you're a true believer. You might be a Baptist and don't have Christ in your heart. You're messed up. I want to say that lovingly. But you think your religion's going to get you to heaven and it's going to give you peace in your heart. It's not going to do it. Only a relationship with Christ will do that. That's why John 1:12 is so important. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. If you receive Christ into your life, you have a relationship with him. That begins the relationship. And you can have joy and peace and live with him forever. This psalm would apply to you. If you've never received Christ, at the end of the service, we'll be inviting you to ask Christ to come into your life and to come openly and publicly and confess Christ. Because every person Christ called, he called publicly. The joy, the meaning, the purpose in life comes from you professing Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, not being ashamed of him. Because he's certainly not ashamed of you. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. 1945. Ben Harold Masteller, Herschel Harold Masteller and Thelma Masteller brought a child into this world. I know that you young people can't think back that far, but 1945. You don't have to figure it out. I'm 71. Amen? I was born. Came into this world. And I'm convinced because of God's mercy and grace, God blessed my life. And I'm going to share a little bit with you about that because I want you to remember that God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the title of my message today is The Road Ahead. The road ahead for you, the road ahead for this church, the road ahead for all of us. What he did in the past, as he was faithful in the past, he'll be faithful in the future. And that's good news for you. And that's good news for me. God's blessed my life not because I deserve it, but because of his great mercy. I think it was Psalm 136 I was reading this week as well about the mercy of God. How the psalmist would recount different things, Bob, that God did for them. How he opened the Red Sea. How he created the world. And he had come back with, and his mercy endures forever. And his mercy endures forever. Aren't you glad of that? What's God's mercy? God's mercy is I don't get what I deserve. That's his mercy. He blesses me and favored me and given me what I don't deserve. How many of you know Make sure and raise your hand on this one, okay? Don't keep your hand down. How many of you know you're not getting what you deserve? Would you raise your hand? Some of you are still already asleep. Here's what I want you to understand. You're not getting what you deserve. I deserve hell. I deserve the beating of our Lord Jesus Christ. I deserve the scourging. I deserve death without God because of my sin. But because of his mercy endureth forever. Yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't that good news? That's one way you can't stand in judgment of others. I can't judge you for your sin. I can preach against sin. But as the old preacher used to say, if I point one finger at you, I've got three coming back at me. I'm a sinner. Except for the grace of God, I'd be in hell. But he's forgiven me through Christ, and I have a relationship with him. And because I have a relationship with him, he will show me the path of life. In his presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. He will show me the path of life. Chris, that means that he'll show me his purpose. He'll show me his plan. He'll show me his power. He does all of that for me. And he's done all of that. When I was born in 1945, my mom prayed for me because I came down with pneumonia. I lived through that. I didn't know anything about that until later on in life when I'd surrendered to ministry. When I was 13 years old, my dad came down with multiple sclerosis. I watched his body waste away and waste away and waste away. And when I was 17, my dad died. A year before that, the uncle who had become a dad, gone to ball games for me, Uncle Ross, died of a heart attack. The two men who meant the most in my life died. But guess what? God had a purpose. God had a plan. God blessed my life. My dad was a cable splicer. My mom didn't ever have a job except when dad died, she started driving a school bus. I grew up in a very, what we call, blue-collar home. No one would think that God would use little Rodney, because little Rodney was very, very shy. Girls came around, I ran. But somehow, by the grace of God and by the mercy of God, God has used me. He was faithful when I was a child. He has been faithful all of my life, and he'll be faithful to the end because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And here's what I want you to get from this. Charlie, are you there? Absolutely. I want you to get this. If he took care of little Rodney, and he's got to be 71, and still preaching that God's taking care of him, he'll take care of each one of you. And little Rodney is nothing. But you look how he took care of David, and you look how he took care of Joshua, and you look how he took care of Moses, and you look how he took care of his disciples. He took care of them. Some of them died. Their heads were severed. They died for him, but he was right there with them, and they're with him forever. Here's what I want you to know. He will show you the path of life. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Would you say that after me? He will show me the path of life. In his presence is fullness of joy. You got to tell your face that. I know it's in your heart, but you need to tell your faith. Smile when you say that. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's where you want to write Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. So, we first of all say, he will show us the path of life. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 4. We're going to look at several things. John chapter 10, verse 4. Jesus talking about he's the door. Only through him can people come to God. And look in verse 4. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Yet they by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he had spoken to them. Verse 7, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If any man enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not but except for to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus said this, I will show you the path of life. How is that? Because there's something in us when Jesus comes to live within our hearts that he speaks to us and leads us. We know his voice. The more time I spend with him, the more I get God's word in me, the more I hear his voice, and I have the joy of following him. I could have really messed up my life had my mom not been praying for me, had others not been praying for me, and had I not known God. But he directed my life, and he wants to direct yours as well. He will show you the path of life. You say, what lies ahead? Here it is. Day by day by day, following him. It's not enough to get in the word. You've got to get the word what? In you. You've got to get the word in you. And the more you get the word in you, the more you hear his voice. You've heard me tell this story before, I think. Some of you will remember. Others need to hear it. But when I was in Israel, we've been in Israel several times. When I was in Israel, one time our bus was on a back road. We were looking at some Bedouin tents and looking at Bedouins taking care of their flocks. And there were two shepherds coming with flocks. And our guide said, watch this. They were coming, one on one side of this little path and the other on the other side. They were coming and all the flocks mingled. He said, watch this. The shepherd went to the other side and all of his sheep were with him. The other shepherd went to this side, all of his sheep were with him. You said, and the guide says, here, you wonder how that happened. How'd they keep from getting mixed up? And the guide said, they know the voice of their shepherd. The world will try to confuse you. The world will try to get you to follow them. But if you know his voice, by being in his word and by surrendering your life to him, you'll follow him. There's a story of a king, King Asa. Some of you have heard of King Asa. And Brother Bob, you're going to be preaching tonight. We appreciate so much you preaching the word of God. I've heard so many people talk about what a blessing you've been to their life. If you're not coming on Sunday nights, you need to hear Brother Bob. He speaks tonight. But there was a king by the name of King Asa, 2 Chronicles 16. And King Asa had followed God. But there came a time, he reigned 41 years. And for the most part, he was a good king. But about 36 years into it, 35 years, he started thinking he was sufficient. And he started relying on other kings rather than on God. In fact, at the end of his life, the Bible says that instead of relying on God, he relied on doctors. By the way, you need to rely on God, but use the medical science that we have. Amen? But his trust was in doctors and not in God. And he went on home. But there's a scripture in 2 Chronicles that I'd like for you to write down and always remember. 2 Chronicles 16:9. 2 Chronicles 16:9, and it says this. The eyes of the Lord, some of you remember it, run to and fro throughout the whole earth to prove himself strong on behalf of the one whose heart is perfect toward him. Come close to me. God loves you. God has a plan for your life, And if you'll spend time with him daily, he will bless you and use you beyond your imagination. Be that person that looks to God. Another verse, a favorite of mine, is Philippians 4:13. Say that with me. I can do. Y'all believe that? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, when I was a little boy, my mother used to read a little story to me about the little train that could. Have you ever heard of the little train that could? That still has remained one of my favorite stories about this little train in this roundhouse. And all the other trains were slim and sleek and pulling loads into town. And he wanted to do it. But they didn't believe he could. One day, all the other trains were out. And they hooked up a load of boxcars behind this little train who thought he could. And he started off. You remember the story? What did he say? Yeah, that's right. Say it with me. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. He just kept going. And then he got up to the top. I think I can. I think I can. And then what happened? He got over the hill. And then what did he say? I knew I could. I knew I could. I knew I could. I knew I could. Do you know you can? Do you know you can? You can't do it in your own strength. But the one who created you, the one who saved you, the one who lives in your spirit, in your heart by his spirit, will see you through. He will show you the path of life in his presence. Is fullness of joy. Don't you love joy? We named our fourth daughter Heather Joy. Heather Joy. Brother Gary, Linda and I tried four times to have a boy. And we have four wonderful daughters. God will show me the path of life. That's one I didn't understand, but it's okay. I tell you, when those girls come home and those grandkids, they love their people. Those girls teach their children to love grandpa. It's wonderful. But anyway, Heather, there was a sign. We were pastoring a church. There's a sign out there that says, that they put on the billboard after Heather was born, our last one, they put on there, Heather Joy is not a boy. Because I had talked about how we were going to have a boy. But now I have six grandsons. I'm blessed. All right. But here's what I want you to know. Joy is a gift from God. You can have joy. He gives joy because you're forgiven. You're saved. You can have peace in your heart. That's joy. Joy can't come from the world. It can only come from an inner relationship with God. It's a great thing to have joy. Look at a verse or two I want you to see. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. How do I have joy? I have joy because I know that I'm loved unconditionally. Amen. I'm loved unconditionally. No matter what I do, God still loves me. His love is not performance-based. Some folks, it is. But he loves me regardless. He loves me with an everlasting love. Look in John 4:17. 1 John 4:17. Did I say 1 John? 1 John 4:17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. He loves you. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of pleasing others. You don't have to be afraid of God's judgment. You don't have to be afraid of death. It's all okay. It's all okay. One of my best buddies, I've told you about him, Billy Crosby's wife died a few weeks ago. I went and did the funeral in Shreveport. I'm telling you, what a celebration that was. Billy's hurt. In fact, I talked to him this morning coming down. He's hurt. He's lonely. But he's not afraid. He knows he's going to see Miss Annette again. Perfect love casts out all fear. God loves you. God loves you. Here's something I want you to join me in doing. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. He is new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. Great is thy faithfulness. Let's stand. Let's sing it, Brother Bob. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Isn't that great? They are new
every morning.
New every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. Great is thy faithfulness. Woo! That gives you joy, doesn't it? Just affirm every morning God's mercy, God's grace, God's love. Great is, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not yesterday, today, and forever. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Sing it from your heart. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning.
Morning, my
morning, new mercies I see, all I have in thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto. Isn't that great? Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that you never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You've been faithful in the past. You're faithful today. And you'll be faithful all the days of our life into eternity. Thank you for your love. And that love and faithfulness, as we meet with you every morning, produces great joy in our hearts and lives, because perfect love casts out all fear. I don't have to be afraid of tomorrow or today, because you're faithful and you're merciful, and because of your amazing grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated again, will you, just for a moment. In John chapter 14, verse 23, John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Hope that gives you peace. If you love Jesus and your heart is toward him, they make the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit make their home in your heart. Look what John wrote in John chapter 15, verse 11, what the Spirit of God spoke through him. "These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might or may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. If I could say this is the thesis of my message this morning, may these words, may the words of God produce joy in your heart. Don't be a grouch. Have joy in your heart. Peace in your heart. Because perfect love casts out all fear. You don't need to worry about what such and such someone said about you. Who cares? The creator of the world loves you and lives in your heart. You're okay. In fact, you're wonderful. Amen? Why would you look Marlene in the eyes and say, you're wonderful. Amen. She said, I already knew that. Amen. No, she didn't. But that's true. You need your look, breathe in the eyes and say, breathe. You are absolutely wonderful. God made you wonderful, didn't he? Yeah. Amen. Chris, well, God made Chris wonderful too. He loves you. He will show you the path of life. In his presence. And he's in your presence. Just be in his presence. Don't worry about this stuff. Get with him. In his presence is fullness of joy. And then the psalmist said, at his right hand are what? Pleasures forevermore. The world talks about pleasures many times in the wrong way. But pleasure is being at peace and having joy in your heart, knowing that he's in control and that the end is going to be fine. Amen? Look in John 10:10. Let's just go to John 10:28. No, let's go back to John 10:25. I'll get you good and confused. John 10:25. Jesus answered him, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Verse 26. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. Here's something that you need to hear very, very clearly. If you don't have peace in your heart, if you're angry and flying off a lot, just angry, and you don't have peace in your heart, you need to say, I wonder if I belong to him. There's one thing for sure. Either you're not spending time with him in the mornings, or you don't belong to him. Amen? Okay. Oh, me. All right. Here's verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they do what? Follow me. And what does he do? I give them eternal life, and they shall what? Woo! They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I and the Father are one. And where did he say he lived? He lives in your heart. You're okay. The past, he's guided you. The present, he's guided you. The future is in his hands as well. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His promises are true. In his presence is fullness of joy. Most of us have loved ones in heaven, and it's okay. They're enjoying life like crazy because there's pleasure, real pleasure there in heaven. Not made-up pleasure that we try to get on this earth, but real pleasure. In other words, real joy, real peace, real love, real hope, all those things are ours in heaven. I think it's Isaiah 41:10. Would you write that down? You need to memorize it. Isaiah 41:10. See if I can get started on it. Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about, for I am your God. Surely I will help you. Surely I will strengthen you. Surely I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. Do not fear. That just messes you up. I was telling Bob this morning, Charlie, you can identify with this. Brother Gary, you can identify with this. As a young preacher, I spent much of my time trying to get the people who didn't like me to like me. And then I realized, no matter what I do, they're not going to like me. So why am I focused on them? I need to focus on him. That produced fear in me. Do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not anxiously worry. Don't look about, for I'm your God. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Surely I will help you. Surely I will strengthen you. Surely I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. It's okay. He's going to take care of you. Isn't that good news? He will show you the path of life. In his presence are fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Born 1945 to a cable splicer in Kansas City, Missouri. A lady with no college education, born in St. Joseph, Missouri. One day God, by his grace and mercy, called me to preach. You say, how do you know he calls you? Because you're walking with him. And you hear his voice, and he says, this is the way, walk in it. Some people, I've had lots of people, Brent, come and talk to me about, how do I know if I'm called? How do I know if I'm called? That's an easy answer. You can't escape it. You can't escape it. If God's called you, you cannot do something else. You'll be miserable. Then I got the pastor. You know, I don't talk about it much, but I pastored Harmony Baptist Church in Appleton City, Missouri, when I first went into the ministry. You know who wrote my first sermon? Linda. And my best buddy, Mike Jones, came to hear me preach that first sermon. I mean, I was sweating. Perspiring, I'm sorry. I was perspiring. And Linda said, man, this is going to be a long road. I have to write his sermons and he can't preach. And then I wanted so badly to pastor a church. I mean, some of you might not be able to identify with this, but this church was so far out in the country, they didn't have indoor plumbing. I didn't even know that existed, but when I got there, I said, may I use the restroom? And they said, it's out back. And there was a path, and then there was a little house out there. Didn't even flush. But there, I tell you, but I hardly ever shared this. I don't know that I've ever shared this. But it was Harmony Baptist Church. It was anything but that. And they had one deacon. His name was Mr. Allen. And I stood up one Sunday to share a little bit. He said, it's not your turn yet. You sit down. I'll tell you when it's time to preach. Linda was pregnant with our first child. And she said, Rodney, I love you, but I can't go through that every Sunday. So it wasn't long until Rodney wasn't pastor anymore. Then God called us down to Texas. Now, yeah, the promised land. And anyway, to make the long story short, pastor, while I was in seminary, Westwood Baptist Church in Waco called me, drove back and forth, pastored. God sent us to Oklahoma. I got to pastor one of the greatest churches in Oklahoma, Putnam City Baptist Church in Oklahoma. Became president of the pastors of the Oklahoma Baptist Convention. I mean, little Rodney. I can't do that. Went to work with John Maxwell, teaching leadership. Ended up in Louisiana, one of the greatest churches in Louisiana, at Summer Grove Baptist Church in Shreveport. Somehow God used me to be president of that state convention, loving pastors, leading pastors. Little Rodney. I've not done a lot compared to most, but I'm telling you, the God who's the same yesterday, today, and forever has taken care of me in the past, used me, and will take me to heaven when I die. And the only reason I share that is because that's what God said to me this week. My mercy, my love, my presence will never, ever come to an end. I gave you four wonderful daughters. They love me. They love their family. I've taken care of them. I could tell you story after story. I've taken care of them in the past, in the present, in the future. It's all going to be okay. Does that mean I won't have problems? No, you don't want to hear them all. We don't have time. Amen? Yeah, I knew you'd say that. All right, but here's what I want you to know. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I just, before I leave this church, and something I said last week, someone said, you mean you're going to leave, this is your last Sunday? It's not my last Sunday. So some of you that are praying, it's my last Sunday, stop. Here's what I want you to hear. God's in charge of me. And God's in charge of the pastor search team. Is that right, Jason? And God has a wonderful pastor coming for you. And he's preparing you for that pastor. But I deeply, deeply believe God led me to say this morning. He will show you the path of life, all of your life. In his presence is fullness of joy. Stay close to him. And you'll have joy. Don't be a grouch. I tell you, some of the people I hate to be around the worst are preachers. They're always griping, finding fault with somebody else. And that's not the most of them, but there are some. In his presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Is that right, James? The Lord will take care of you. He has, he will, forever. Well, I don't want to let you go. But I need to. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for these moments in time. Thank you that I pray a young man or a young lady or a mom and dad who think I can't be used will turn their lives over to you and you will show them the path you have for them. And they will daily be with you and you'll fill them with joy. And then when life's over, you'll take them to be with you. And all of their faithfulness, because of your grace and mercy, they'll be blessed forever and ever and ever and ever. Father, I pray for that man or woman, boy or girl who's here who has yet to trust you as Savior and Lord of their life, that they would receive you into their hearts. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for our sins, being buried, resurrecting, ascending and sending your Holy Spirit to indwell us. And Father, there are some in this room that your Spirit doesn't indwell. Inside, they're angry, they're fearful, they're cynical, critical, and they don't have peace. God, I pray that today they would allow you to come in so you can begin to show them the path of life and give them joy in their hearts. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If you're here today and you've yet to receive Christ into your heart, you might be a Baptist, you might be a minister, you might be a deacon, doesn't matter, but you've never received Christ in your heart. Would you pray this prayer after me as I pray it out loud? And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray it in your heart as I pray it out loud. Dear Heavenly Father, I realize that I'm a sinner. And it's by your mercy and grace that I can be forgiven. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. By your Spirit, come live in my heart. Take over my life. Fill me with joy and peace. And take me to heaven when I die. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.